Hello, can you hear me?
All righty, all righty.
Good evening, everyone. It is so good to be once again before you. I think Sister Morgan and Sister Purnell must have read my mind because this, what I'm going to be talking about tonight is kind of tie into anger. And domestic violence is on the rise today, and in our society, people are angry. They don't know why they're angry. And we asked our young people today, why are you so angry? And they say, I don't know. They don't know why. But in our society today, people are angry because maybe something they went through in a bad relationship, or maybe someone hurt them in the church. But people are very angry, and people are even angry with God. And that's one person, somebody you don't want to be angry with. So let us turn to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Adam laid with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later she gave birth to his brother Abe. Now Abe kept flocks, and Cain worked the field. In the course of time, Cain brought some of his fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abe brought fat portion from some of the firstborn of the flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abe and his offering, but on Cain his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin stand crushing at your door. You must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out in the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed Abel. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother, Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Here, what an attitude Cain had. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? God said to Cain, listen, sin is knocking at your door like a wild beast and ready to come in. If you don't master that, it's going to deal with you. Anger turned into bitterness. Anger is a terrible thing, church. Anger will cause for someone to kill another person. They become so angry. I remember having the prison ministry and talking with some of the prisoners. And one of the young men I asked, why are you in here? And he says, on an impulse. And I'm like, whoa, on an impulse? He said, what I did, I wasn't thinking. Right then and there, I was angry and I killed someone. On an impulse. Because of anger. That is one of the things that the devil uses, is anger against all of us. You can see here, and when Cain is said, even here in Cain, the devil was right there as well. So when we look at anger, we look at a person being hurt, never getting over it, and hold on to that thing in life. And if a young man, a young lady goes into a relationship, that relationship won't last very long because of that bitterness. If a young man did wrong a young lady, then the next young man come along, she gonna look at him the same way in anger. I remember working at work, and this young man came in, and when he came in with a force. And he ripped Brother Hobbs apart. You dirty this, you no good this. And I'm looking at him like, and all the guys around the machine, they started laughing. Oh, wow, man. And he just was ripping me apart. And I stood there, and I was looking at him. And he stopped, went on to work. The next day, when he was coming in, he walked into the lunchroom. I stepped away from the machine, and I walked in the lunchroom. You seen everybody at the machine, Hobbs going after him, Hobbs going to get him. I walked in the break room. I said, hey, bro. Yeah. I shook his hand. How you doing? I'm doing good. I said, yesterday you came in and, for whatever reason, jumped all over me. I never done anything to you. He was very quiet. I said, there's no love lost. I said, but let me share this with you. If you do that again, I can't promise you what may happen. I can't promise you. But please, don't ever do that again. You know what I did? Shook his hand, bam, hugged him. He stood there and was just looking like this. And I walked out. After that, never had another problem out of him. I could have lost my job by going upside his head. But I didn't do that because why? My mother gave me an old beat up Bible, and that Bible was in my toolbox, and I kept reading that thing about anger. The wise man Solomon talked about anger and what anger would do to you. And I tell you, that have helped me over the years because I ran into some people that have done some things, and I tell you, it caused me to be very angry. But guess what? I didn't hold on to that. I didn't hold on to that anger. But when we look at anger and when we look at Cain and Abel, we've seen that Cain had an attitude. Cain was angry, but God gave him an opportunity, didn't he? If you deal with this, then you will be accepted. But if you don't, this sin is going to get you. It's knocking at your door. And this is what takes place in our society today, church, is that we allow bitterness. We allow anger. Bitterness and anger go hand in hand. It's often catch us unaware. Bitterness is what happened when that anger is left to linger and take root. The Bible views both danger as a spiritual burden that harms the person holding on to them rather than the person who have made them angry. So tonight we're going to talk about anger. We can look in the Bible and we can find that so many people in the Bible did some terrible things because of their anger. Let us pray. Eternal Father, as we approach your throne today, we thank you for this day you allow us to see. We thank you for waking us up this morning in our right frame of mind. We thank you for your protection. We ask tonight, Father God in heaven, for those who are sick among us, that you would touch their bodies. We continue to pray for Sister Fox. We continue to pray for our elders and deacons of this congregation. And we pray for all of those who are sick among us here. You know who they are. Father, we ask tonight that you touch them with your healing hands. We ask, Father God in heaven, as we study this word tonight, that we don't allow anger to become a part of us. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your strength. Father, I ask that you will look down on my daughter, Kiara, and my grandson, Kyrick, as they're traveling back from North Carolina, taking my granddaughter to college. Father, we ask right now, Father, that your angels stand guard over both of them, and they make it back to Detroit safe. In Jesus' holy name we pray, let us all say amen. So, anger is a tool that the devil used. Satan is bitter still with God. Satan is angry with God because Satan do not have a home to go to. One day Satan will be destroyed. So he's so angry now that he would have tried to attack you and I in any way he can so we can become angry. I remember that a young man that I knew, he had a problem just ripping his wife apart. So one day I couldn't take it no more. So I stepped in and said, "Don't do that." And he said, "You don't tell me what to do. If you can't pray for me, just stay out of my business." Wow. But I was seeing what he was doing to his wife. But he said, "Just stay out of my business." So this is what we're dealing with today in our society. We see anger on a football field. We see anger on a basketball court. We see anger on a baseball field. We see anger everywhere, even in the church. We see anger. Anger in the church. If Galatians 6 said, "If anyone be overtaken in a fault, you which is spiritual, restore such a one." But what happened if a person sin and go back out into the world, and when they come back, somebody in the church is angry? Why is he or she doing this? Why is he up leading songs? Why is he on the Lord's Supper table? Well, listen, he came and repented. But the person is still angry because that person have came back and repented. Wow. That's almost like the analogy of the prodigal son. The one who left went out to hanging out with the wild women and doing all that, but the older brother stayed at home. And he told his father, "Listen, I didn't go out to hang out with the wild women. I didn't go out and do all that, bring shame on the house." But the father said, "But you was always with me. You was close. Guess what? Your brother went out there sinning, but you stayed at home and you're sinning in your heart because you're angry against your brother." And that just goes to show you that was the Pharisees mad at Jesus because Jesus was hanging out with the sinners. And so when you look at that anger boils not only into our home, it boils over into the church. That's why Paul said, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Because sometimes a father can provoke his child, a son or daughter, to anger. That child becomes so angry, you don't know what he or she may do. Look what happened today. When our parents decide to, just the other day, the father went to discipline the 13-year-old boy. What did he do? Shot him. So anger. I'm telling you, anger, road rage. You are driving, and somebody cut you off, and you may just wave your hand. They spin around and coming at you. Anger. You're at a grocery store, and you decide this is my parking space, and somebody cut you off, and if you get out of the car and say something, they're ready to fight you or shoot you. Anger. And so when you trace back and look at Cain and his attitude, you see this anger. How angry are you to slew to kill your own brother? But God told him, if you just do what's right, I would help you. So when we look at the scriptures and we look at how bitterness and how anger plays a part in our lives, anger is a natural emotion. The Bible notes that feeling angry is not a sin. It is when you act on that anger. James tells us in James 1:19, where he say, slow to hear. What? Slow to hear and swift what? Swift to hear and slow to speak. I'm sorry. Swift to hear and slow to speak. That means you have to think about somebody say something to you out of the way. You got to think first. You have to think real fast. Because on an impulse, you can say something out of the way or you can do something. You have to be very careful about that. Many, many men today, many men and many women today have found themselves in a situation where anger have cost them their lives, have cost them their family, have cost them their jobs, and even cost them at church. What do you mean, Brother Hobb? You can become a member is so bitter and so angry, is that what happened? You just come to church and you're just sitting. You're just like a frog on a log. You're just sitting. You're just sitting. You want to do this? No. You can't do that? No. You just hear. And you hear the preaching over and over to repent. Repent. If you got bitterness, if you got angry, and if you're jealous, repent. And you still sit here. Over and over, you hear the word preach, and you have an opportunity to change. But anger still sets up resident in your heart. There is a danger to come to church and just sit, and you're bogged down with anger about something. I don't like how he's preaching. I don't like how he's teaching, because every time he's teaching, it seems like it's come after me. Seem like he coming out there. Every time he preach on Sunday, he always talking about sin. Yeah, okay. Then get right. You know, then get right. Stop sinning. But the thing of it is, that person become angry. Then guess what they started doing? Now, you hear what he said Sunday? You heard a preacher talking about sin, always talking about sin. Do you hear that? That's all he ever talk about. You gotta be careful, because that anger began to start planting seed. That anger began to start planting seed. What anger would do to all of us. Being angry is not a sin. Paul tells us that. Be angry, but sin not. Sin brings about confusion. Sin brings about anger. Ephesians, when we look at to see how bitterness ruins a good and healthy relationship, it ruins a good relationship that lingered for years and years and years. But something happened in that relationship, and bitterness breaks that relationship. When you look at people have had good relationship with each other, and all at once you see that person say, how come you're not speaking to each other anymore? Why? Well, he made me mad. Mad about what? Well, he said this about what? But you never get to the bottom of what actually happened. They're just mad. They're just angry. And if you not settle that thing would cause for you to miss heaven. And that's the sad part about it. Being angry would cause for one to miss heaven. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Verse 26, you guys have it? This is what the Apostle Paul says. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Wow. Don't be angry and let the sun go down while you're still angry. The devil is in every part of our lives. The devil wants to destroy all of us. And we cannot give him that opportunity. If the devil tempts Jesus in the wilderness, who are you and I? Say that. Who are you and I? And he's angry because what? He had a home in heaven. He misused his authority and he was kicked out of heaven. And what is he doing? Peter says he's like a roaring lion coming after you and I. He's angry and he wants you and I to be angry. He wants us to be angry at the word of God. He wants us to be angry at the word of God, and he wants us to be angry at anybody talking about God. We have to be very, very, very careful. Because anger would cause for us to do something that we will regret the rest of our worst life. Danger rottens the soul. Bitterness eat away at a person, inner peace. Joy is removed. Love is removed. Everything is removed when anger and bitterness sets in. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. In the same chapter, let's take a look at 31 and 32. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another and forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you, us. We must be kind, compassionate. We must listen to this. You may not believe this, but listen, you have people in the Church of Christ who are angry today. You may not believe that, but you have people in the Church of Christ is angry. It's angry today. And they will do whatever they can to split the church, to tear the church up because of anger. Yes, Lord. Be aware of that. We must be aware of that. Yes, Lord. Be aware of that. And it just didn't start yesterday. This thing been, listen, Brother Hobbs have seen brothers almost get into a fight. Maybe some of you have seen the same thing, seeing brother almost get into a fight in the parking lot of anger over something simple. Well, he didn't ask me to do this, but he asked you to do that. Over something simple. I've seen it over something simple. Well, how come he didn't ask me, but he asked you? He wasn't overlooking you. Maybe he looked at you and said, well, maybe he may be too busy, so I'm asking this brother to do it. But because of Satan, and the Satan got into their brother's head, he started thinking that way. Listen, we have to have that mind of Christ that every time somebody asks somebody else to do something, don't take that personally. Yes. Don't take it personally. Don't take that thing personally. Because this is what happened today in the church because of anger. I've had brothers say, well, he asked him to read the announcement this morning. How come you never asked me? Man, please. I mean, please. You had something to say, sister? Yes. 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 First definitely. Absolutely. On jealousy. That's true. That's true. That's very true. I know at the nursing home ministry in Jackson, on Sunday, get out of church, I go to the nursing home. And I will ask, well, anybody in the church want to go to the nursing home with me? No, I don't like going because of that smell. That smell in there. Smell didn't bother me. But you said you don't want to go with me because of the smell. But when somebody from the nursing home happened to come to the church and said, Brother Hobbs, been up to the church to see my loved one, then you started complaining. He ain't got to go up there every Sunday. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? That thing is so dangerous. It is so dangerous. Listen, for a person who are strong in the faith, who are faithful to the Lord, you have to be very careful because a person who are jealous and a person who have an evil heart, an envy heart, that person will wear you down.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. That person will wear you down. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. People get mad at you. People get mad at you. Absolutely. I think about Esau selling his birthright. He became angry, but he sold his birthright. But he came angry. To the point that he wants to take Jacob out. He wanted to take Jacob out. But because of his birthright, he had no blessings coming to him. His father said, somebody already came in here, said, Dad is in. He said, there's no blessing left. The Bible said he cried loud. He became angry at his brother Jacob. When you look at Ahab and Jezebel, in 1 Kings chapter 22, it's where Naboth had some land. And Ahab wanted that land. And Ahab set out to get that land. But Naboth said, no, I'm not going to sell it because this is the inheritance of my family. I'm not going to do that. The Bible said Ahab went home angry and told Jezebel, honey, whining, baby. Honey, baby, neighbor, I won't let me have that land, whine. And so Jezebel said, listen, get up. I get that land for you. I get it for you. I bet I get it for you.
Oh, but my Lord,
I get that land for you. She set Nabal up to be killed. Jealousy and anger. But let me tell you something. They did not get away with that. God dealt with both of them. Oh, I'm here to tell you, when you have an evil heart and a jealousy heart, Jeremiah said, who knows the heart? God knows the heart. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. God searches the heart. God knows our heart. He knows what lies inside of us. He sees the jealousy. He sees the anger. He sees the malice. And I wish that we can, listen, Highland is growing. People are being baptized. Hear this clearly. The devil's angry, and some folks in here is angry. Why you say, Brother Hobb, that's not so? Yes, it is so. Because some people don't want to see growth. Some people don't want to see the church grow. Some people, you may say, Brother Hobb, that's not true. Yes, it is true. Some people don't want to see the church grow. But when you have those who are faithful to the cause of Christ, the church is going to grow. Yes. And the person who is sitting here with an anger spirit and a jealous heart, they're going to do two things. They're going to get it right or they're going to get out of here. Simple as that. You're going to repent or go. That's simple as that. Because when you look at that, people in the Bible, what have they done? We look at individuals who have done terrible things to people and still have not repented. They don't think that they have done anything to anybody. They feel that there's no need for them to repent or ask for forgiveness. Wow. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. All the people that who's angry. Chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Okay, Bible, turn to the page now. Chapter 5, looking at something wrong again. Bear with Brother Hobbs, these pages don't want to turn from me. Getting there. Just bear it with me. You see that? Chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. This is what Jesus says. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, And there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Listen to this. If you sit in here and you got something to your brother, God don't want your money. He don't want your praise because, first of all, you got something against your brother. Jesus said, go and get that thing straight. Why do you think when Paul says that we're going to give to God, we can't give grudgingly or out of necessity? God want our heart to be right when we are giving to him. But if you giving him ain't being angry, all I got is $10. That's all I got is $10. God is saying, listen, I don't need that. You can have $500 and you up here complaining about, I got $500. Shoot, I can be at the casino paying, getting it, doing something with this $500. I'm giving it to church. God is saying, listen, I don't want it. I don't want it because if your heart is not right, I don't want it. Anger. Anger. When you look at Nebuchadnezzar, the Hebrew boys will not bow down to him and worship his God. What did he do? Because of anger, he threw him into the furnace. Anger. When we look at anger, anger all over the place. When we look at the Bible, those who have angered God, those who have angered God, yes. No, go ahead. Yes. Go to him. Absolutely. Go. Right. That's true. Go to him. Straighten that thing out, because anger is a terrible thing. And when we look at Saul, King Saul, when they were saying David slew 10,000, Saul only 1,000. Saul became furious. He became angry through his spirit, David, and David had to duck, missed him. Listen, this is what anger does. This is what anger does. He became so angry, jealous of David, 1 Samuel 18. He threw a spear at David twice in an attempt to pin him against the wall. Oh, my God. He pursued David in all of his ways in the cage. He went after David. Saul's anger became so furious against the man he once allowed into his home. Now David had to run for his life like a fugitive. Wow. This is what anger does. David loved Saul. David had an opportunity to kill Saul. But David says, I'm not going to touch my anointed one. Let God deal with him. I'm not going to touch him. He's got to give an account to God for what he's doing to me. Anger. In the home, there is no rest when there's anger in the home. In the church, there is not good fellowship in the church when there's anger. Listen, if people from the outside walk through these doors, people are not crazy. People are not crazy. They comes in here and they can feel that attention. They can feel it. They can feel it. That is why, Highland, we must be on our best behavior, being true to God's word, serving him, loving one another, devoting ourselves to one another, because listen, we all are heading to that same place, and that is glory, what Jesus said at the right hand of the Father. We all want to get there. In order to get there, we have to lock arms, get there together. And we have to get there by removing malice, jealousy, and anger. I think what happened a lot of time, we don't spend a lot of time on this because a lot of people don't like talking about anger and jealousy and envy. We have to talk about it because it's real. It is real. It is real. Look at our government today, how anger people are in our government. Politicians is angry with each other, calling each other names. Wow. What a mess. What a mess. Saul set out to kill David. But David's best friend, Jonathan, was always letting David know what his dad was about to do. Jonathan stayed in front of David to protect him from his father. And even Saul became angry with his own son, Jonathan. Saul was hunting David down to kill him because he had lost the blessing that God once had gave him. Saul once was able to praise God because of jealousy and anger, bitterness, and evil overtook him. That same thing would happen to you and I if we're not prayed up and if we're not doing what God requires of us. When we look at the older brother felt resentful toward the youngest brother when he went out into the world and began to live a righteous life about chasing the harlots and hanging out with the pigs, hanging out with other folks. His behavior was rotten to his father, but his father loved him, the youngest brother. But when the father seen the young man afar off running home, he met him, kissed him, told a servant, get the fattest calf, while the older brother sit afar off in his heart, a dark heart, saying, look at him. Who is he? Who do he think he is? I've been here with the father all this time. So he decided he's coming home and my dad is giving him the fattest calf. Pride and self-righteous. Here we look at this thing can happen to you and I if it's not careful. If we're not careful, this thing can happen to you and I. Many churches today have fallen apart because of anger. Many people have left the church because of anger. Many people have fallen out of fellowship with God because of anger. Anger and jealousy should never control our lives. Genesis in chapter 4 teaches us control. If we don't control anger and jealousy, it will lead to a dangerous downfall. God warned Cain that sin waits at his door like a wild beast, showing that we must master our bad impulse. God sent all of us his warning for our accountability. When we are wrong, when we are angry, when we are jealous, full of malice, God always sends somebody to warn us. What lesson do we learn from Cain and Abel? Learn to control your own emotion. Anger, jealousy can trick you into great harm if you do not stop it early. What? Garina? 5 minutes? So what are we learning tonight, church, about? We must watch out for sin. God says sin waits to grab you, but you have the power to overrule. You have the power to rule it. Listen, God gave us this word. His word gave us the power to, listen, rule over our sin and our behavior. It is because we don't take the opportunity. We don't take advantage of God's word. And when we don't take advantage of God's word, sin began to deal with us slowly, 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 but surely. You find yourself out there in a situation you may never get out of. Don't let sin have it toll on you. Let God help you. Take responsibility. God holds people accountable for their action and asks us to care for one another. That's the most important thing in prayer, accountability, each other. Love each other, kindness, gentleness, loving one another, praying for each other, because listen, we all fight the same devil, Satan. And if we don't watch out, he'll take hold of us. Let us pray. Eternal Father, I hope I said something here tonight that helped